The challenge, of course, is understanding why they're parallel. So the first one is a very theoretical. This is a leftover some work that I did when I was in graduate school. Ira got fascinated with the Mueller-Lyer illusion, and we went after the Mueller-Lyer illusion. And got a nice publication out of it, and my worst title ever, but my best title pun ever. The pun was, "What makes the Mueller a liar?" L-I-A-R. I can't believe we slid that through. All right, my colleague hypothesizes that line length, and wing angle account for adult illusory extent better for a speeded task than for a self-paced task. A lot going on there. We have a model that is line length, wing length, and wing angle. And we have two criteria. We have a speeded task. Why did I do that? And we have self-paced. And we also have a population. However, this is when it gets ugly. I think that visual acuity and focal peripheral attention separation will improve the model for both tasks. So now we have a second model. We have visual acuity and focal peripheral attention. And I think that this, added to that, will lead to a better model for both of these. And more so for elderly adults. Now we have two populations, too. So far what we've got is nested model comparisons in two different criteria, in two different populations. Oh, but we're not done yet. Because it says, will improve the model for both tasks and are themselves probably sufficient for the speeded task. So now I'm talking about making a comparison between these two. Make sense? So what questions do we have? In the population adult, for speeded, we've got the comparison of the full model with the line length, wing length, visual or wing angle, which we'll call the illusory model. And we also have the comparison of the personal model and the full model. Because it says probably sufficient. That means that if we start with the visual acuity and attention model and add the other stuff in, the R-square won't go up. You with me? So we're saying that if we, let's try this another way. If we start with the illusion model plus the personal model, that'll do better than the illusory model. But that the illusory model plus the personal model will be the same as the personal model. What we're looking at here is known as asymmetrical increase. Adding one to the other helps, adding the other to the one doesn't help. And that's what's meant by sufficient. This model does as well as is sufficient compared to the full model. And then we've got exactly the same thing going on with the self-paced. And then we've got all of that again for the elderly. So we have a total of 12 models. The illusory model, the personal model, and the full model for each of two criteria for each of two populations. The good news is, even though we have 12 models, we really only have two comparisons within each. But then we have the comparison of the illusory model in its four instantiations. Two different criteria by two different populations. Now everything that I showed you is set up when you just have two and you compare them to each other. Right? Now we're talking about having four. Shit. That's six pairwise comparisons. Really cool versions of this is when you've got, say, five criteria and eight populations. Now you're looking at 30. But we can take a technique from ANOVA. When we have ANOVA with just two groups, what we think about and do is we compare those two means to each other. Right? But when ANOVA is done with multiple groups, the overall ANOVA, that omnibus F, does not compare these all to each other. What it does is it calculates a grand mean, the mean of all of them, and compares each of the group means to the grand mean. Make sense? And you can take this same strategy with model comparison. For a particular model, you put everybody together and you build the model. Then you impose that general model on all four groups. And you look to see where it does and doesn't work as well. Where it doesn't work as well, you need a specific model. Where it does work as well, you can lump those together. When we actually did this on five age groups and six different versions of the Mueller Lyre, we found that I think it was 23 of those 30 all worked really well with the overall model. And the other seven required five different models. So some combinations of version of the illusion and population were just wildly different than everybody else. But most of them were very much the same, which had explained why the last three meta-analyses in that area had come up with really funky results. They didn't agree with whether or not they were going to include developmental data, and age had a lot to do with it. And so the ones that didn't include kids got different overall results and different comparison results than the ones who did include studies with kids. Okay? And I'm telling you this story because as nasty as this looks, it was one afternoon. That's it. To sit down, run the 12 models, run the comparisons, an afternoon. And the result of that afternoon on the 30 was three very nice articles, a very nice invited presentation at a national meeting. Okay? It's a good way to get positive attention. Go into some situation where different labs, different researchers, different theorists aren't getting the same results. Take the materials and the procedure sections apart. That takes a little longer than an afternoon. It took two. To grab these articles, take them apart, and say, look, these guys are not using the same criteria. They are not using the same populations. The only thing that matches is the predictor model. You can't make that comparison. Find a complicated situation where people are not getting along. Show how you can get everybody else's results and when those results agree and when they differ. Really, it was three afternoons. And the person that I was collaborating with ate on this for the next 2 years. It's the downside of being in graduate school. His data, his show. I used to get to go to the conferences in case there were questions. But somehow I never went to the champagne brunch. Oh well. All right. Job selection. Same basic idea. Currently uses one model, but doesn't like it. I'd like to show a different model non-nested model comparisons, and show that my model will add to his model to do better overall. Nested model comparisons. Recognizing that there are different criteria, and that there are different populations. You're not allowed to use an instrument if anybody can demonstrate what's known as adverse impact. There's all sorts of definitions of adverse impact, but if it comes down to nut cutting time, what matters is, does the model have the same structure and the same function across populations? When you're talking about adverse impact, you're talking primarily about age, race, and gender. Age gets simple. When anybody's worrying about age, it's over under 40. So it's not like you've got 40 groups. Gender, in most jobs, it's not as hard as it was 30 years ago to get both male and female data. When people first started worrying about adverse impact, it was a real problem because much of the time, 97, 98% of the workforce was males, and your female sample was all of them, all six of them. Okay, tough to run a multiple predictor model on an N of six. And so some of the things that were done in the name of estimation were just crap. The real booger now, however, is race. Because we don't have anything like an agreed upon or legally mandated definition of how many and what are the categories and how do we define them. And so the really stupid thing that gets done most of the time is majority, minority. And that isn't always whites and non-whites. Depend upon where you are and what the job you're looking at, it may be Hispanics versus everybody else. It could be Asians among anybody else. And already I've said something stupid. The notion that Hispanics are a heterogeneous group is goofy. Okay? I grew up with a lot of Puerto Ricans that I discovered when I got to Texas are very different in a lot of ways than the multiple kinds that I ran into in Dallas. Okay? So, you know, Asians, oh, that's just what? A third of the world? Yeah, they're all homogeneous. They're all one kind. Okay? And so when you start putting things that don't belong together together to make up for small sample size, what do you think you do to the quality of your results? Flush it. Okay? Now, I can't solve your sampling problems. I can't solve your definitional problems. What I can solve is your model comparison problems. I can let you know what you ought to be doing. And the really sweet thing is, it comes down to full models, whether they work, how well they do, what contributes to them, and four kinds of model comparisons. No matter how ugly it gets, it's just some combination of those five things. And no matter how ugly it is, your big problems are going to be sampling, sample size, and good measurement. Okay, so don't curse me. You will. It's okay. And the other thing is that even if it's big and ugly, an afternoon, a night, a couple of beers. Okay, and you've got all those models made. And now you start thinking and interpreting. What we'll do together next time is look at statistical control. We've been doing statistical control in all of our multiple regressions because we say holding all the other predictors in the model constant. Okay? Now we're going to look at this more explicitly, and we're going to add in the last family of types of research questions that look at partial and semi-partial analyses. Okay, once again, one of those SPSS does nicely and pleasantly for us. The other one we have to work a little. Okay, we'll see you Friday.